soul is the same. The soul doesn't change.
Our body changes from boyhood to youth, youth to old age. And in the same way, at the time of death, the soul changed to another body. Lord Krishna explained, Dhiras tatra namuhyati. The sober person doesn't get bewildered by this change. Thank you. So, anything material has different phases of life. First one is born, then grow up, then one get married, has children, byproducts of the body, children, then health, old age come, disease come, and then death. We can't avoid these things. This is the natural way of life. But this doesn't affect the soul. The soul is Satchitananda. It's eternal, full of bliss, full of knowledge. So we are all spirit souls, and when somebody close to us, dear to us, pass away, naturally we feel grief, naturally. But we should try to remember what Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, that the soul is eternal, the soul is everlasting, nobody can harm the soul ever. So having this knowledge is very important to know how to face problems in our life. We suffer mostly due to ignorance, because we don't know what is there after death, where we are going. But Lord Krishna explained in the Bhagavad Gita, Jam jam bapismaram bhavam te jatyante kalevaram tam tam nevaiti kaantaya sadala bhava bhavita. That according to our state of mind at the time of death, that will carry us to our next life. So there is no loss. Life is eternal. We are just changing from one situation to another. When a person is pious, is good, then next life he will get better situation in life to continue progress, spiritual progress. This reminds me when my Guru Maharaj, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he visited South America, Venezuela. I met him there in 1975. And one morning walk in the park, one student asked Prabhupada, my professor in the university, he's atheist, and he said that this idea of God was invented by man due to because of the fear of death. He was atheist, so he didn't believe in God. But he said this idea of believing in God is because people fear death. And Prabhupada immediately told the student, okay, you tell your professor that, alright, we think of God because we fear death. That's fine. Then, you solve that problem of death, we don't think of God anymore. We don't worry about God anymore. But don't ask us to stop thinking of God without first solving this problem of death. So, death is there means there is higher power above us. Nobody wants to get old or diseased or die. Nobody. But the laws of nature are made in such a way that nobody can escape from this. So that means there is higher power above us. The superior controller. Supreme controller. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. Krishna says, Varma Samhita explains that Krishna is the supreme controller. Ishvara Parama Satchitananda Vigraha is full of bliss, knowledge and eternality. Sarva Karana Karana Anadir, he has no origin. Some people sometimes ask, if God created everything, who created God? If somebody has created God, that somebody is God. When you come to the person who nobody created, that person is God. He's anadi, no origin. But he is the origin of everything. Everything is coming from him. Like, for example, in the Bible it said that God said, let the creation, and there was creation. Just by his saying, like that, let there be light. Light came. But we are very minute, small entities. We are in small particles of God. We can never become God. We are always subordinate to God. We are servant of God. That's our original position. But some people have wrong idea that we are God. But that's wrong. Because if I am hungry and I say now, let there be chapatis, no chapati will come. Unless I work hard, no chapati will come. So there is difference between us and God. And God is very merciful, very kind, because he is giving us, you know, this opportunity, human life, to be aware of how to solve the problems of life. Jamma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha nudarshanam. A person who see the truth always remember that there is always this problems, birth, death, and in the middle old age and disease. We should always remember that. This place, this material world, is not permanent place. It's a temporary place. And it's full of miseries, problems. Dukkalayam ashashvata, Krishna said. So that means we should try to become sober and try to understand that this life, this material life, is not the all in all. There is something much better than this. Much, much better than this. And that is the spiritual world. The spiritual world is our real home. We are all belongs there. We don't belong here. We are foreigners. Everywhere we go in this world, we are foreigners. We don't belong to this material nature. And we come together, you know, sometimes, and we are sometimes separated from family, friends, like that. But that's not under our control. There is a Bengali saying, Mare Krishna Rake Ke, Rake Krishna Mare Ke. It's Bengali saying that explains that if Krishna protects somebody, who can harm me? And Krishna said, this person have to die, who can protect? So life, death is in Krishna's hand, in the Lord's hand. Nobody can do anything. One very rich man in India, very rich, he was offering his doctor at his deathbed, oh, I give you half of my fortune, please give me four more years of life. Doctor, I can't do that, it's not in my hand. So, because finally, there is one story in relation to that, that once a man asked his servant, go to the market to buy some vegetables. And the servant went. But while he was going to do his shopping, he saw the Lord of Death staring at him. He became very frightened. So he ran back to his master and said, my master, I just saw the Lord of Death and he stared at me. I'm very frightened. I don't want to die. Please give me a horse. I want to go right now to Calcutta. Okay, take horse. No, no. So the man himself has to go to the market to buy the vegetables. And he met the Lord of Death there. So he asked him, why did you frighten my servant? Wasn't my intention to frighten him. Well, I was surprised to see him here, because this afternoon I have a meeting with him at Calcutta. I was just surprised to see him. What he's doing? He's supposed to be there. The meeting is not here, it's there. So nobody can escape destiny, you know. Our life is controlled by the Lord. Of course, everything, you know, we do in this life, good or bad, will come back to us. You know, that's the law of karma. Nobody can escape that. So we have to always be, you know, dharmic, always follow, you know, or prescribed duties in life, try to be religious, try to be pious, try to serve the Lord. You know, the easiest way to serve the Lord is just by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Iva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. Shastra explained that in this age of so much quarrel, hypocrisy, people fight over everything, small things, so much anger and violence everywhere, the best way to achieve spiritual perfection is just by chanting the holy name of the Lord.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
There is no better process in this age than the chanting of the holy name. In the Padma Purana, Lord Krishna told Narada, Naham prakasho vaikunte yoginam hridayeshuva. Yatra gayanti mad bhakta tatra tishtami Narada. O Narada, I am not there in Vaikuntha, nor am I in the heart of the yogis. Then where are you? Narada asked. I am there where my devotees are singing my glories. I am there. So there is no difference between singing the glories of the Lord and having the darshan of the Lord. There is no difference between the name of the Lord and the Lord Himself. That's the absolute nature of the Lord. So the best process is just chant the holy name. We achieve all blessings, all perfection in life. So if one can remember at the time of death the holy name of the Lord, he doesn't have to get born again in this world. There is very nice verse here, chapter 10, text 5. Here it is. Antakale chamam eva smaram muktva kalevaram yaprayati samadbhavam yati nasti atra samshaya. And whoever at the end of his life quits his body remembering me alone at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. So that is the antakale, means at the end of life. If we can at the end of life remember the Lord just by remembering his holy name, then we don't have to get another birth again. We are free from the samsara, repeated birth and death. We go to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. That's the goal of life, of human life. Prema pumarto maha. By developing prem, love for the Lord, we get attachment to the Lord, and we can think of the Lord even at the time of death. Then we are transferred to the kingdom of God. So Prabhupada explained in his paper, in this verse the importance of Krishna consciousness is stressed. Anyone who quits his body in Krishna consciousness is at once transferred to the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is the purest of the pure. Therefore, anyone who is constantly Krishna conscious is also the purest of the pure. So the Lord is the purest of the pure. We have also to become pure to go back to Krishna. And how can we become pure? The example is given that fire is fire and metal is metal. But if you put the metal in the fire, then the metal acquires the nature of the fire, becomes fiery too, hot, and, like fire. So in the same way, by hearing and chanting, remembering about the Lord, that's bhakti yoga, devotional service, then our nature changes to spirit. There's a purification, transformation. And by doing that, the heart starts to become pure, the mind starts to become pure. Then we know we are advancing, making advancement in the spiritual life. So the mind now is full of so many material things, but we have to purify the mind by this chanting, then we can get all the spiritual benefit. If one wants to achieve success at the end of his life, the process of remembering Krishna is essential. Therefore, one should constantly, incessantly chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Lord Chaitanya has advised that one be as tolerant as a tree. Tarori Vasa Hishnuna. There may be so many impediments for a person who is chanting Hare Krishna. Nonetheless, tolerating all these impediments, one should continue to chant Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
So at the end of one's life, one can have the full benefit of Krishna consciousness. So we shall take encouragement from these words of the Lord and His devotees that whatever we do in our spiritual life is all for eternal benefit. It's like a bank account. You go on putting, you know, money, then you get more and more. The same way, the more spiritual pious activity you do by remembering the Lord, chanting the names of the Lord, not only you yourself benefit, your family members also benefit. It is like in the forest, there are many trees. But if there is only one tree with very fragrant flowers, very nice flowers, all the forest smell nice. See? So in the same way, even if one person in the family becomes Krishna Bhakta, a devotee of the Lord, the whole family gets the same benefit. Immediately the benefit is there. So thank you for inviting us to satsang and share this talk with all of you. And we wish the departed soul to have Krishna Sharanam Mama, the shelter of Lord Krishna's lotus feet. We are all praying for our benefit, spiritual benefit, and surely the Lord will hear. Because we are sincere souls, the Lord will hear your prayers. So thank you very much. And I don't know if anybody else like to say something or have some comments or questions. Okay. I just want to come to a conclusion. Here in Bhagavad Gita, it is advised that when a person leaves this world, it is very good to sing some shloka for the spiritual benefit of this person. So there is this in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the shlokas that speak about eternality of the soul, and we are going to sing some shlokas for that purpose. This is from 12, starting from 12. No? Natu eva aham jatuna sam natvam ne me jana adipa. Nachaivanabhavishyama sarvevayamata param dehinasminyata dehe kaumaram jovanam jara katavehantara prati tirastatrana mujati matras parishastu kaunteya sitoshna sukha dukkada agamapayino nityastam titikshasva bharata yamhina vyatayantyete purusham purusharshava samadukkha sukham dhiram swamritatvaya kalpate Nasato vidyate bhavo na bhavo vidyate sata ubhayurapi drishtantas tvanayos tattva darshivi avinashituta vidhi yena sarvamidam tatam vinasham avyayasyasya nakaschit kartum arhati. Antavantai medeha nitya sukta sharirina anashino prameyasya tasmadyudyasva bharata jainam vetti hantaram yaschainam manyate hatam ubautau na vijanito nayam hanti na hanyate na jayate mriyate vakadachin nayam butva bhavitavana bhuya ajonitya shashvato yam purano na hanyate anyamane sharire. So these verses, we're going to read just the translation. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. As the embodied soul continuously passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change. O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, O son of Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. O best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. Those who are seers of the true have concluded that of the non-existent, the material body, there is no endurance, and of the eternal, the soul, there is no change. This they have concluded by studying the nature of both. That which pervades the entire body you should know to be indestructible. No one is able to destroy that imperishable soul. The material body of the indestructible, immeasurable and eternal living entity is sure to come to an end. Therefore fight, O descendant of Bharata. Neither he who think the living entity is slayer, nor he who think it is a slain, is a knowledge, for the self slay not, nor is a slain. For the soul there is neither birth nor death at any time. He has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. He is unborn, eternal, ever-existing, and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. So the soul is eternal. The soul can never die. So this transcendental knowledge is for helping us in any difficulty, any situation that we may feel some unhappiness or grief. We should always remember this Bhagavad Gita shlokas, because this will give us some hope, some encouragement, that life doesn't end with this body. Life is continuous forever. We are just passing through this life, and if we can somehow or other become God conscious, Krishna conscious, then our life is blessed by the Lord. So this is the conclusion, and the more we can do that, the better. In this process, Krishna consciousness, there is no loss, nor diminishment. Everything we do is for eternal benefit. It's like one story, one thief. One thief, he was looking for a place to sleep. So he found a temple, but was closed. So he took his chadar and cleaned the floor, the entrance of the temple, you know, dust, and put his chadar in and lay it down. But the Lord took it as seva, that this man cleansed my doorstep. So this man next time became pujari in that temple. He became a priest. Krishna accepted this service. So now you do more service. Krishna is more eager than ourselves that we go back to him. So he doesn't lose any opportunity to engage us. Even if we don't know what we are doing, still he will do. Like that. If we make one step toward Krishna, he make 10 steps toward us. See? There's another story, one thief also. He was, by curiosity, he came into a temple. So here the speaker telling about Krishna's Vrindavan, how he's nicely decorated with garland and necklaces, you know, made of valuable stones and gold. So he became very interested when he heard that. So after lecture, he approached the speaker and asked him, can you please tell me where this person Krishna lives? And the speaker, he's a Krishna Bhakta, he wants to know about Krishna, that's very good. He lives in Vrindavan, thank you. So he went to the train station to find out how far was Vrindavan, how much cost the trip to go there. So he went back to his home and told his wife, "My dear wife, today I came to know about a very rich man, his name is Krishna. And he lives in Vrindavan, but it's far away. I don't have money to go by train. Please, I want you to sell your golden earring I gave you so I can go. Don't worry, I will get more, I will buy you too. No problem." So he convinced his wife and he went to Vrindavan. When he arrived in Vrindavan, first person he found in the street, one devotee, he stopped him asking, "Please, can you tell me where can I find Krishna?" This is a devotee, he's looking for Krishna. That's very good. Right now he's in Nandagram along with his brother Balaram. They are taking care of the cows there. If you are fortunate enough, who knows, you may see him. And the man became very much enlivened. Yes, I'm going to steal from this very rich Krishna. So he went to Nandagram and was searching for Krishna in the forest. And he was very eager to find Krishna, although his intention was to steal from Krishna. He still was very eager. His eagerness became like a hungry lion, you know. Imagine one lion 1 week without eating, very hungry. So his desire, his hankering for seeing the Lord was like that. So after 1-2 days, he was not even eating, he was just so much looking everywhere to try to find Krishna. Finally, Krishna showed himself to him because he was so eager. So much eager that the Lord said, "Let him see me." So when he saw Krishna, he approached him, you know, humbly, "My dear sir, Krishna, your mother sent me here because she said that you must give me this necklace you have. Maybe some thieves may be around. So please, to avoid that somebody steal from you, your mother asked me that I will take home your necklace." And Krishna smiled, saying, no, there are no thieves here. I am the only thief. If there are any more thieves, Mother Yashoda would not have put around my neck this necklace, valuable necklace. So no worry. No, please, yes, your father also, Nanda Maharaj, tell me that. So please give. No. Maybe you are the thief, Krishna. "Well, Krishna, yes, to speak the truth, yes, I am thief. But you are so nice, so beautiful, so rich. Please give me one of your necklaces. I am poor man. I need." Krishna said, no. "How can I go home without necklace? Mother Yashoda will be angry at me. I can't give." And then the man's heart became very softened by Krishna's loving dealing with him. So Krishna offered, "Okay, you take." No. "I want just to become your devotee." He bowed down Krishna's feet, crying, "Please forgive my offense. I want to become just your devotee." And in this way, he surrendered his life to Krishna. He became a great devotee.
of the Lord. So somehow or other, somebody becomes attracted to Krishna. He gets so much spiritual benefit. Even a thief, he gets so much spiritual benefit. You know the story of Ravana's sister. What is her name? Sharpanaka. Sharpanaka. Sharpanaka, she became attracted to Lord Ram by lust, the lusty desire. She became, oh, he's very beautiful man. She thought like that. So she has the power, Rakshasi, to become, you know, change her form, become very beautiful. So she approached Lord Ram, oh, you are so handsome, so beautiful. Please, I want to be your wife. Lord Ram said, I'm sorry, I already have my wife, here is Sita. But my brother Lakshman is free, you can approach him. So she went to Lakshman. Oh, Lakshman, my dear, you are also very handsome. I like you very much. And Lakshman said, no, no. You have to insist on my brother because I'm only his servant. He is the king. I'm only servant. You insist on him. Because Vedic time, you know, king can have more than one wife. So she went back to Ram. No, please, you accept me. Ram said, I would have accepted you, but I have made a vow, ekapatni brat. Only one wife. So sorry very much. I can. So she became very angry. Because when desire not fulfilled, anger comes, you know. So she became very angry and want to attack Sita Devi. She became very ugly like Rakshasi. So Lakshman has to stop her, chop off her nose, ear like that. She went crying, you know. But Krishna is so kind, he never forgets anything. So in her next life, she became Kubja. She was hunchback. And when Krishna entered Vrindavan, Mathura, she immediately became attracted again. And she had sandalwood pulp for Kamsa. But she took it and smeared it on Krishna's body. You know? Krishna accepted the seva. He was smiling. She's still attracted to me. She never forget this attraction. But Krishna is so kind that he stepped on her feet and took up her cheeks and pulled it up, and the hunchback disappeared. She became very beautiful young girls. And just by the touch of the Lord, she became great devotee of the Lord. Pure devotee. Just see how Krishna fulfilled all desire. The same thing with Putana. Putana came to kill Krishna, isn't it? She put some poison there. But also she came as a mother. She came to give milk. She was a mother. So Krishna took only the good thing and killed the bad thing. And he gave her a position as a nurse in the Goloka, in the spiritual world. So kind, so merciful Krishna. And who was she in her previous life? She was Ratnamala, Bali Maharaj's daughter. It is said that when Ratnamala saw Vamanavatar, very beautiful boy, she felt motherly affection. Oh, such a beautiful boy. I would like to have a son like him. I will give him my breast milk. She felt so much like a mother when she saw him. But then when Vamanadev took everything from her father, Bali Maharaj, with two steps, he covered the whole universe, everything. So she became angry. He took everything from us. Now we are paupers. We don't have anything. She became angry. If I had poison, I will give him poison. So both desires came together like Putana. But Krishna took only the good. Give up, free her from the bad things. Krishna is so kind, so merciful. So, just by remembering, you know, the pastimes of the Lord, the Leela of the Lord, His holy name, so much spiritual benefit we get. The benefit is that we start to become, our hearts start to become purified. Our suffering diminish, and we feel some attraction, some attachment for the Lord. some bhakti, devotion. Slowly, step by step, it will grow. All right, so I will stop here. Thank you very much again. Hare Krishna.